Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
David is the district secretary, but even more than that, he's a preacher of the gospel. And I know that he loves the Lord. He's going to give you some good things. Amen. Bless you, brother.
Amen. It was supposed to take you guys longer to give than that, you know. Anyway, it's good to be back. How many of you were around here like 5-6 years ago when I was coming down here preaching a lot? Okay, a good number of you. So we've got a little bit of a relationship going here already. And it's good to be back with you this morning. Thankful for the move of God. I'm thankful for the presence of the Spirit of God that I feel in this house. You know, we don't have to feel something to know that God is present, because God is everywhere. He is with us. But the awareness of His presence is a good thing. And we who follow the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I'm thankful that I can sense the presence of God here. And I believe, and you can ask my wife and the people who know me well, never is a really strong word, but I'm going to go ahead and use it. Let me use rarely. I rarely say something that I don't really mean. I mean, there are those occasions where, you know, you just have to kind of say something, but I rarely say something that I don't mean with all of my heart. And I do believe that God is working in this church. He has a mission for this church. And the reason that I say that is because I can sense the presence of God in a unique way here. And it's not that I don't sense the presence of God other places that I am, because I do. But there is a uniqueness of the presence of God in this place. And that is to be valued. But even more than that, it is an indicator of God's hand upon a group of people and God's desire to do something in the midst of those people, perhaps even something that has not yet been revealed. And so I say to you, continue steadfastly with faithfulness as you continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because I believe that there is a revelation of His presence that He wants to unfold in this people. And that there will be people touched and the work of God will continue to expand out. Be a part of that. I'm also thankful for your pastors, Pastor Bill and Sharon. So thankful for their lives. I was rehearsing to my wife Donna on the way down here the many churches that they've planted, as well as their aggressiveness when they were in the district office in church planting, that many, many very strong churches in the state of Indiana were started under Pastor Bill's leadership. And so we're very thankful and grateful for the touch of God upon his life and what God's done in their lives throughout the years. Glad that they're here with this fine group of people in Bedford, Indiana. I am glad that Pastor Brent and Tammy will be with you tonight. It's going to be a phenomenal service. They've been friends for many, many years. And God is doing something in Delphi. It's something that's caught the attention of many far and wide. There is a touch. God is moving there with a healing ministry. And God is flowing through Pastor Brent and Tammy with a healing ministry in a profound way. So I encourage you to be here tonight and not only see what God is going to do, taste and see that God is good, but be here because God's going to do a work in your life if you're here this evening. I believe it. It's going to be good. And well, you know, I find myself lately preaching topics that I would probably rather not preach. You know, it's one of those things where you're saying, okay, God, I want to preach something different. And I almost never preach the same message twice, but there is a common thread that's been running through it lately, and it surfaces, but it surfaces in different ways. And I'm thankful because what I was saying about the presence of God being active in this church, I can tell early in the morning on Sunday morning God's attitude toward a church. And early this morning, long before the clock went off, I woke up and God was talking to me about this church and talking to me about, okay, we need to go this direction and we need to refine this and we need to add that. And that's exciting to me because it tells me that God is active and He is communicating with us, revealing Himself to us. I don't know if you picked up on it or not during the worship, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in this house. He is among us. He's working and moving in us. 5-6 years ago, in that time frame, as I was coming to Bedford, Indiana, Sunday by Sunday to fill this pulpit when you were between pastors. In the time since then, I've been down a lot of roads in the last 5 years. And I would like to say, sometimes it feels like I've been to hell and back. And I'll emphasize the back part. And while in the scheme of things and the scope of things, it's probably not that dramatic, but to me, it feels that dramatic. It was one thing to firmly believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and to believe that His promises are all true and then to walk that out practically in faith believing, holding steadfastly and firmly to the Lord. I think most of you know me. Most of you probably know a little bit about our journey. I don't know, but my story is not that unique. And I've argued with God often about, I don't need to tell my story. I don't need to reference my story, but it has become my story. And it's been part of my faith journey and the fabric of my life. And what God tells me over and over again when I feel that way is every church you go into, there are people that need to be set free in Christ Jesus. Every church you go into, there are people that are hurting and there are people that are carrying hurts and confusion and pain that they've been carrying for years and years and years. Everywhere I go. And there is that commonality in the human experience that we experience hardship in our lives. We experience suffering in our lives. We experience pain. And if you've not experienced any of that, then you're not very old yet. You will. Just wait for it. It's going to happen. See, I came to encourage you today, just to lift you up and make you feel good about life. But as we, several years ago, my wife Joyce was having headaches, and finally she had an MRI done to see what the deal was, and there was a little cyst, one that she carried here week after week when we would come here. And I remember her coming home and saying, I want to know my grandkids. And I said, it's going to be okay. You will. You will. And how could I say that with such confidence? The reason I could say it with such confidence is I had seen God work and heal and move. I'd seen His miraculous power over and over and over again. I'd laid my hands on people in altars and I'd seen them healed. Seen God do incredible things. And not only that, you see, I'd always done everything right in my life. Well, almost everything. And so, if people needed a miracle, I was one of the guys that they would call just because they believed that I knew God. And so I'm thinking, we got this. I know God. God has always given me favor. And so I'm not really concerned about this. It'll be okay, I promise. It was a couple years later, and it shaped up, and to make a really long story really short, as they say, sometimes it's too late to do that. but I think I've still got time to make it short. But I remember that day in November of 2012 when I'd slept downstairs because we'd been to the emergency room the day before, and Joyce needed to sleep, and so I slept in the recliner downstairs. I got up on November 17th of 2012 and went upstairs, and she was still sleeping. Tried to wake her up. She said she didn't want to wake up. Then I began to become alarmed, and as the day progressed, we ended up with EMTs at the house, and I ended up at a hospital, St. Vincent's in Indianapolis, and that evening at about 10:30, I came home by myself after watching the life support system go all the way down. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. And you know, to many of you who have faced many, many things, some of you have faced that very thing. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but to me, everything stopped that day. Everything in my life is measured with the words before and the words after. And some of the difficulty of the whole thing was that I'd always believed God, and God had always come through for me, every time. And this time, He didn't. I remember dropping to my knees in that little room in the hospital, and after the doctor said, "We don't think this is survivable," that hit me like a ton of bricks upside my head. Are you kidding me? And I dropped to my knees in that room, and I began to cry out to God, and I realized I had no bargaining power with God because I'd already given Him everything in my life. I was already doing everything that He asked me to do, and I searched my mind of something I could promise God if He would make it okay, and I couldn't come up with one single thing I could promise God because I'd already given Him everything. Listen, if you want to negotiate, you got to hold a few things back. You know? But when we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we hold nothing back because therein, hence, is the word Lord. He is the Lord of our lives, and we give Him everything, and we're all in, and we learn to trust Him, and we learn to walk with Him. Walking through that has been quite a challenge. My wife Donna, which by the way, today is our first anniversary. Pastor Bill's wondering, what are you doing here then? We were supposed to do a marriage retreat Friday night and Saturday night, and so it was over in Princeton, so I thought, well, we'll just stay somewhere and come on over here and it'll all work out, you know? And that got canceled, but we celebrated yesterday, so it's all good. But Donna's story was such that they were Assemblies of God World Missionaries. They were with Convoy of Hope in Europe. Along the way, they got jobs for the United States State Department, worked in the embassy in South Africa, and then they were working at the consulate in Nigeria. And they took a holiday one day, and it was April 28, 2013, which would have been my 34th wedding anniversary, April 28, 2013. And I remember that day because I spent most of that day at the cemetery. But it was on that day that they were on a beach in Nigeria. Donna got in the water, got caught in a riptide, got pulled out. Dave went in to try to get her out. They were in serious trouble as the ocean was just pulling them right out. And thankfully, a Marine and a sailor were on the beach that day, and they were able to go in, and over a long period of time were able to get Donna out, but it was too late for Dave. They weren't able to get him out. They took him by boat, left Donna on the beach praying, asking God for healing. Even when she came into view, the body, the determination to lay hands upon that body and see it resurrected by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would rather preach to you of how God healed my wife, and maybe someday they would come as missionaries and would share how God raised Dave from the dead that day. But that isn't our story. Our story is one where we had to walk through it. And there's a few things that I want to share with you regarding this. I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. See, this is today is about freedom. Jesus Christ brings freedom on every level. He frees us from our pain. He frees us from our sin. He frees us from the life we would have lived without Him. There is freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And where I'm going with this is that anger can destroy your freedom. It can keep you from freedom in Christ. That an entitlement mentality can keep you from what God has for you in walking in the full deliverance of Jesus. Fear can keep you from walking in the plan that God has for you to release you into that plan. So 1 Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 1, it's a little odd because the first part of this is very specifically talking to elders and shepherds, but to start with verse 1, it says, "So I exhort the elders among you." Again, 1 Peter 5. "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed." Now I'm going to preach through this passage, but I just can't help but stop along the way. Because you see, in that first verse of Scripture, he says, "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ." You see, this was written by Apostle Peter. Peter was there. He saw the sufferings of Christ. He was there and he witnessed the beatings. He witnessed the persecution. He witnessed the crucifixion and he witnessed the resurrection. Wow, what power to be reading what such a man has written. He said, "I was a witness of the sufferings of Christ as well as a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed." He's saying, "I've already tasted it. I've already sensed it. I've already experienced the reality of it, and I am pressing forward to the call of Christ Jesus." He says then to these elders, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Isn't that a theme throughout Scripture? If you persevere to the end of this thing, you're going to receive an unfading crown. "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud." Important verse of Scripture. "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you." Listen to this part. "Casting all your anxieties," King James says, "casting all your cares on Him, because He cares." He cares. He cares for you. "Casting all of your cares, all of your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself," listen, "will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever." Jesus Christ is firmly in control of this world. And in this passage of Scripture, He mentions suffering about three times. But then He also mentions the glory that we're going to receive. He mentions the work that God is going to do in us. And it almost seems that those go hand in hand. I want to survey some scriptures to lay some foundation here. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. In James chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, it says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Let me just say that God had a plan for your life before the ages even began. He was not taken off guard. He was not surprised by anything that has ever happened in your life. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In the book of Job, chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, if I say, Job talking here, if I say, I will forget my complaint and put off my sad face and be of good cheer. What's Job saying? If I just put on a happy face, I become afraid of all my suffering, for I know you will not hold me innocent. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. Wow. I'm going to read that again, if y'all don't mind. Now putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. Amen. And I know what some of you are thinking, because it's the same thing I was thinking. If God is in control of everything, then I don't like his plan. How many of you ever thought that? Where I am right at this moment, if he's in control of everything, then his plan's not very good. But we walk on and we trust God. And I'll get to that in a second. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. In Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter, in verse 13, it tells us, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Down in verse 35, it said, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in the deserts and the mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. The plan that God has worked, that these that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11, they never saw the fulfillment of the promise of God, but by faith they trusted. And when that promise came, though they were long gone from this earth, the promise became theirs as Jesus led captivity captive. And I go back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, where I began. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's to be revealed. Peter, the eyewitness, wrote some of our New Testament. The apostle. We've heard stories about him when we were kids in Sunday school. Sometimes we wondered what kind of guy he was, and why would Jesus choose such a man as he? The tradition says, and in fact, Origen, one of the church fathers, wrote that Peter, this eyewitness of Christ, during the time of the persecutions of Nero, that in Rome, Peter was crucified, not wanting to be like his Lord in death. He requested that he be crucified head down because he did not count himself worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord. That's all in, folks. That's all in. This is the Peter that writes. He says in verse 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God." Listen to this. "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." Now I want you to think about that particular verse of Scripture where He is coupling, casting all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. He is coupling that with humility. Humble yourselves and submit to the purpose and plan that God is working in your life, because God is working a purpose and a plan in your life. I mentioned anger a moment ago. Some of you need to be free from anger because there's stuff you're angry about. I understand that, and Jesus understands that too. Humble yourself and submit to the purpose and plan that God's working in your life. I remember the waves of anger. I still have waves of anger, though I'm not even sure why at times, you know. It's like, okay, what am I angry about? I don't know. In my journal, how's this for transparency? In my journal, I can go back through those months that were difficult. And sometimes an anger would rise up within me that I would write down things and I would think I need to erase that back out lest somebody would see it after I die. And I thought, no, this is what I'm feeling. This is what it is. I'm going to do this journey. Some of it was really raw at times. I remember one particular moment when I got angry at God. I could say, have you ever been angry at God? And there'd be some of you that would have to raise your hand, but I'm not going to do that. Just got angry at Him, and I was pacing, and I was praying, and I was seeking the comfort and the strength of God as I was trying to just make sense of my world. And as I was pacing and praying, I saw Joyce's Bible laying on the piano, and I thought, I'm going to pick that up and find comfort from the Word of God. And I picked it up, and there was a bookmark in it and underlining in it. And the Bible just fell right open there because she had had it open there so many times. And it was that passage in Jeremiah about a hope and a future. He's given you a hope and a future. Now I remembered all the times that she would read that verse and she'd write it down. And when she'd speak, she'd say, God's given me a hope and a future. I opened the Bible that day and I read that and I looked at that and I got so angry. I flung that Bible across the room. And I said, God, I don't like your plan. If that's the future you give, I don't like your plan. Man of God, district executive officer, an elder of the church. Followed Him as closely as I could since I was 14 years old. Now I was hot. So we had words. Actually, it was me having words and Him listening. And somehow, this presence of God got a hold of me. Just as I was reaching a crescendo with it, got a hold of me, and I felt His presence. And I felt His strength wrap around me. And I just wept and I cried. And then I felt guilty because of the things that I'd said to God. And I said, "Oh Lord, I am so sorry." And I'm telling you, it was as though I felt the Father Himself say, "No, you don't have to apologize for this. You've not done anything wrong. I get it. I understand." And there were all the talks about trust and understanding. And one day I just said, "God, if you would just help me understand this, I think I'd be okay." And He said to me, "You're never going to understand this. I need you to trust me on this one." Well, this one is the biggest one. But that verse that says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God." When anger rises up within us, it is so difficult to humble ourselves before God, because humility says, "God, I'm going to dare to trust You. And I'm going to dare to believe that Your plan is better than mine." Amen. That's humility. Humility to say, "God, I don't want to bow, but I'm going to bow. And I'm going to let go of my pride and my arrogance and that part of me that just wants to have my own way." If you want to be free, you've got to lay down the anger. You might still be angry at times, but you got to let God work through that. You got to let God work and move in you in that, because anger leads to bitterness. In James chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, by the way, all of the scriptures that I read as I began, they all talk about suffering. How come in the church we don't talk a lot about suffering? Can anybody explain that to me, when the New Testament is absolutely full of it, when Jesus says you're going to suffer tough stuff? How come the only thing we can preach about is victory, victory, victory all the time? Listen, I need to know that whether I am on the mountaintop shouting victory, that God is with me. If I'm on my way down the mountain, I know that God is with me. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with me. When I go through the ocean in the difficult times, God is with me. He is with me wherever I go and whatever I go through. Sometimes we have testimony services. We have people testify about how they paid their tithe even though they didn't have enough money to do it, and they just trusted God. They weren't going to be able to make their mortgage payment. And lo and behold, they go out to the mailbox, they open. I told you I'm going to build your faith up this morning. I'm going to make you all feel good. Lo and behold, they go out to the mailbox and pull out an envelope. They open it up, and it's the money to pay their mortgage. We stick them on the platform, and they tell their story. And we all stand and we clap, and then we get our wallets out. I'm going to pay my tithe too. I'm going to trust God. You know, it tells us that we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Don't stop testifying. But how is it less valid to put somebody up here to say, "I paid my tithe, even though I didn't have enough to pay my mortgage. But that was God's money and it wasn't mine, and I had no choice. And now, the sheriff's knocking on my door. But I'm going to keep trusting God. I'm going to keep trusting God, doing what He called me to do." You see, we need to understand that it is not the result that is the testimony. It's our faith that's the testimony, that we believe God and we humble ourselves in His presence to believe that His Word is the Word of God, no matter what we see. And see, when the anger rises up in us, James chapter 5, verse 10, as an example of suffering and patience, "Brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast." You've heard of the steadfastness of Job, and this is what I read a moment ago. The steadfastness of Job, "And you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." We don't try to understand everything. What is this all about? To walk in freedom. To walk in freedom, we have to walk in faith. I know that there's probably some of you in this place that are saying, "This doesn't work. Christianity doesn't work. It doesn't work unless you're all in. Unless you believe, unless you trust God. It doesn't work if at the first sign of trouble you say, well, that's it. I'm mad. I'm mad at God. I've been pastoring for a long time. I'm not a pastor of a church right now, but I still count myself one. For probably 30 years. I've encountered those people, they just say, I'm mad at God. Why? Well, he let my grandma die. How old was she? 90. I understand getting mad at God. I get it. But when we humble ourselves before him and we dare to trust his plan, God always comes through. And it's not always in the way that we thought it was going to be or the way that it should have been, but he always comes through. And so I move to my next point. Let me give you this verse. Romans chapter 5. Again, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. You know, my kids, I want to give my kids everything. I think we all do. There's times that I want to help them more than I should help them, but being a loving father, I understand that I cannot do that for them because I will build a dependence that is not good. They need to be able to stand on their own and be able to live their lives. You know something else I've learned? That if somebody is thousands and thousands of dollars in debt, you do them no favor by bailing them out. They need to feel the pain of every dollar earned. They've got to learn how much that dollar is worth, or they're just going to go right back in debt again. It happens every single time. There has to be pain in it. And that as God is working a work in our lives, why does there have to be pain in stuff? I don't have an answer to that question, but I do know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. Now, if you go back to Romans chapter 8, let me tell you, in verse 18, he's talking about suffering and the glory that's going to be revealed. After you read that key verse that we all quote, and all things work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, then it talks about conformity to the image of His Son. The good thing that he is doing is he is conforming us into the image of Christ Jesus. That's the good thing that God is doing in us. And all of the things in our lives, no matter what they are, you see this smile on my face. It's from joy that's down within as a man who's come to realize that stuff I didn't like has worked a far greater glory in me than anything else could have. And I tell you, as I stand before you today, I wouldn't ever want to go through it again, and I wouldn't want to wish it on anybody. I'm a little bit confused with that, but this I know, the work that God has done in my life, I wouldn't let go of that work. You got to be all in. You got to go all the way. You got to humble yourself with God because it's going to play out. Wow. I'm going to skip that point, I think. Because I think I've covered it. Entitlement is an obstacle to being free in Christ. Anger and bitterness is one. Entitlement is another. See, I've already talked about that. It's me feeling like God should have done better by me because I did better than the average guy. No, we humble ourselves before the Lord. True freedom from the entanglements of this world is a pure faith before the Lord. I got to tell you this part. I made three decisions, and this message is based on it. 2 weeks into my journey, I made three decisions. You see, the reason I talk about this stuff is God helped me so supernaturally that I have to share this. This is not about the loss, and it's not about the pain. This is about the power of God to help you. Because all of you have a story. But about a week after Joyce passed away, somehow sovereignly I made three decisions. One was I would be whole again no matter what I had to do to be whole. I was going to work at it and I was going to be healthy again. That was a God thing. The second decision I made was someday good things are going to happen. They wouldn't have happened otherwise. And I have to trust God that there is a trajectory to my life and good things are going to happen again. That's hope. The third thing was, God, I'm going to write down everything and I'm going to help somebody someday. That's purpose. Health, hope, and a purpose. And God will give it to you. Donna, stand up so everybody can see you, except maybe some of the folks in just... She is. I was here on my 50th birthday. Some of y'all gave me a guitar. That's my main guitar. That's what I play it all the time. It's a good one. Well, our anniversary is today, so we celebrated yesterday. And for our first anniversary, and this probably sounds odd to you folks, but Donna got me a ukulele. It's a really cool one. I've never had one. I've never played one, but I like musical stuff. So we sat down on the couch last night after we got back from dinner and all of that, and I get it out and I'm looking at it. She goes to an app on the phone and kind of finds some chords. I learn a chord, I learn two, I learn three, four, five, you know, and then I'm starting to get the hang of it. We sat there the rest of the evening, sitting on the couch with me playing the ukulele and singing songs to her, you know. I knew someday good things would happen. And that's the faith, that if we keep going in Jesus, you see, if you get angry and you quit, or you just feel like there's too many injustices in the world and you give up and that's it, God never has the opportunity to work out the gold in your life, the diamonds, the really good stuff. Fear is an obstacle to our freedom. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, he says, "And after you've suffered a little while, the God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever." In the Gospels, there's a story about a man who goes out into a field. Steve, if you want to help me. There's a story about a man who goes out into a field and he finds a treasure there. And this treasure is so valuable and it's so expansive, it's going to take a lot of time to mine it out of the field. It's not as easy as just picking it up and putting it under your coat and running. And so he goes and he sells everything he has to buy that field because he knows about the treasure. Everything he has. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like this. It's like a man who finds a treasure in a field, sells all that he has, buys the field so that he can mine out the full extent of this treasure. I just came to tell you what Jesus told me to tell you today. That if we're going to walk in freedom and deliverance, listen, it makes me want to cry when I think about this. See, I would have rather come and told you stories about how God could heal you. I'd rather do what Brent's going to do tonight because that's who I am. That's the way I've always been turned, you know. We're going to pray for healing because we faced this thing and God did a miraculous healing, and I'm going to build your faith and I'm going to lay hands on you and we're going to believe God to heal. See, I believe in healing. I've seen God heal many, many times. I don't want my story to be a story of when God didn't. But my story is that whatever you walk through, God will walk through you with it. See, some of you people have been through stuff I can't even imagine. Some of you are looking at me thinking, I wish that's all I've been through. But see, it's not the point. That's not the point. And the point is that on our journey, God is always able to deliver us. He's always able to set us free if we're all in. He is the treasure that's hidden in the field. That if we will let go of everything else, humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and cast our anxiety upon Him, cast our care upon Him, then He is going to work and He's going to move in your life.